Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that you have given us what we need today to come to worship you. Thank you that you have readied our hearts to hear your word. We pray that you would give us what we need, that you would give us humble hearts, ears that are open, minds that are open to receive what you have to say to us. And God, we pray for our children, our young ones that go downstairs. We ask that their hearts and minds would be opened in their time of fellowship, in their time of receiving your word in their context. God, we pray that you'd be forming them, you'd be forming us into your faithful and mature disciples to be used for your purposes. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. All right, this is week number 4, and we are going through the Lord's Prayer. We're going through the petitions of the Lord's Prayer. This week is the 4th petition. This is kind of a turning point or a transition point. The first 3 petitions focus on God and God's glory. Hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. And now we move to us and to our needs. Give us our daily bread. Forgive us our debts. So we're making that transition today. As we've been doing, we will pray the Lord's Prayer from Matthew chapter 6 together. And then we will read together the question and answer from the catechism gives us instruction on what this petition means. Heidelberg Catechism, if you're not familiar with it, it's a 16th century Reformation document that helps us in our interpretation of Scripture to stay aligned with Christ and centered on God's grace to us in Christ. So I invite you to use these words as our prayer together from Matthew chapter 6. Jesus says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. And then from question and answer 125 in the catechism, the question is, what does the 4th petition mean? And let's say these words together. "Give us this day our daily bread" means, "Do take care of all our physical needs, so that we come to know that you are the only source of everything good, and that neither our work and worry nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. And so help us to give up our trust in creatures and trust in you alone. Amen." It was almost exactly 1 month since they had left. Men, women, and children taking only what they could carry in their arms as they fled their homes in haste. Now the dough that they took with them to accompany them along the way on their journey, it had all been baked, it had all been used up. The land that they were crossing was unable to support their large numbers. Now their provisions had been exhausted. The bellies of children began to ache. Parents started to snap at each other as the hunger started to get to them too. Some of the prominent members of the community began questioning the leadership, asking, "What's the next move? Our families need to eat. We're hungry. What are we going to do?" They were wandering in the wilderness. They were wandering in a land that was foreign to them. They had no means of provision. They were unable to care for themselves in this time of desperation, in this unforgiving climate and atmosphere. They were in a place of dependence. This is the Israelites who we're talking about, of course. The Israelites, they are wandering from away from the land of Egypt to the land that the Lord, their God, is taking them. Now, for 400 years prior, they had been dependent on the Egyptian soil, on Egyptian land for their provision. Their needs were met under the reign of Pharaoh. Yeah, slavery was not a great time. They were not treated the best, but still they did not go hungry. They did not starve like they are beginning to starve now in the wilderness. And so they turn and they grumble and they complain to Moses, "We're hungry. What are you going to do about it? We need to eat some food." They are in a place of utter dependence. Now they're being asked to trust in this God that they do not know very well. That they're being asked to lean and depend on this God for everything that they need in this foreign land, in this foreign terrain. Now today, especially in our culture, we don't have the same food problems or the same food issues. If you look at the statistics, on average, the U.S. has a food waste of about 300 pounds per person per year. So every year in the U.S., on average, we throw away or food waste of 300 pounds per person per year. So if you think about what that looks like, try to quantify it, think of like the little lunch meat packages. Do you like to get like turkey breast or honey ham or whatever you like to get? If you get one of those packages, it's not a pound anymore. It's not fully a pound. It's like you need 60 more grams to get a pound. So this is a little bit off. But just imagine everybody in your house taking 300 of these packages, opening them up and dumping out the lunch meat into the garbage can. 300 of those. Everybody in the house. That's about the amount of food waste. We use words like leftovers and to-go box because we don't always eat the food that's in front of us. In fact, we go on diets. We go on diets because we want to stop eating so much food. We have so much of this provision. Our lives, we've been provided for abundantly. We live in abundance, and this is not a bad thing. This is not a bad thing. But there is a danger. There is a grave spiritual danger that we encounter living these lives of abundance. In the book of Deuteronomy chapter 8, as the Israelites, they're preparing to cross over the Jordan River. They're preparing to enter into the promised land. And Moses gives them some instructions. Moses says, "Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God." He says, "The Lord is bringing you into a place where bread will not be scarce. He is bringing you into a place where you will lack nothing. Be careful. Do not forget the Lord your God. When you eat and you are satisfied, when you build fine homes and settle down, when your gold and your silver increase, do not forget the Lord your God. Do not let your hearts become proud and say that it is my power and my strength that has brought me to this wealth." Well, the Lord knows. Lord knows that there is a danger in providing for his people in abundance. There is a danger that they will turn away from him and a danger that they will become self-reliant. This is what our call to confession was based on, these words of Agur from Proverbs chapter 30, where he says, "Lord, do not give me riches. Do not give me riches or else I will turn away from you. I will forget you. Instead, give me my daily bread." Living abundant lives, there is this threat. We are into this dangerous space that we will become self-reliant, where instead of focusing on the giver of the gift, we begin to focus on the gift itself. And sometimes we forget the Lord, and we may even take it a couple steps further and think that, "Oh, I have earned this. I deserve this. I have worked hard for this. I am entitled to this. It is by my hands that this has come to me." This is the danger of living life in abundance, where we begin to focus on the gift and make this about the meaning of our life. This is our well-being, the gift itself. And we see that when this is taken away from us, or at least threatened to be taken away from us, we begin to get anxious. We begin to panic because we think that, oh, this is coming at my hands, and now I can't produce this. Now what happens? We saw this in 2008 with the economic recession, the Great Recession, where wealth was taken away. People experienced some very hard financial times, and different people responded in different ways. Now, there are some stories out there. There's one man, for example, an 82-year-old man who had lived a successful life as a broker. He was coming to the end, still 82, he was still coming to the end of his long career as a broker. He was married for over 60 years. He was running a successful, he was in charge of a successful investment firm in Connecticut. He was a pillar of his community, but in July of 2008, the bottom fell out, and some of his clients, some of his clients were, they went under. One of his main clients, millions and millions of dollars of revenue went under, so he lost that. And so his bottom line looked like zeros. He saw what was coming, and his response was to jump out of an 11-story window. This was his response. We begin to think that the things that we have, our daily necessities, the money, the cars, the provisions, the healthcare, we begin to think that it's us, that it belongs to us, that it's we're entitled to it, that we've earned it. And so we move into this posture of self-reliance and self-dependence. But God, Jesus, in his grace to us, knowing that this is the tendency of our heart to move into this posture, he gives us the words of the Lord's Prayer. He gives us what would be the means of being able to focus ourselves, to recenter ourselves, take us away from the gift, and to focus on the giver, to put us back on center where our dependence should be, and that is on God. So let's just take a little bit to highlight some of the words of this petition. Give us today our daily bread. First, this word give. The word give. It's a you read this word in just this petition, and you think, oh, this is kind of a maybe it's a little bit rude way to approach God, or maybe it's a little bit irreverent to say, God, give me this and give me that. But we have to look at it where it's placed. This is not the first petition. This is not the second, not the third petition, but this is the fourth petition. This is petition number four. Give us today our daily bread. We've already spent time praying. This assumes that we've already spent time praying, hallowed be your name. God, cause your name to be regarded as holy among us. We've already spent time adoring God and praising him for who he is and what he's done. We've already recognized and prayed for his kingdom to come, recognizing that he is the universal ruler over every kingdom, over every nation. God is supreme. God is sovereign. We've already spent time praying, God, let your will be done in my life, especially in the life of this world. Let your will be done. Help us to all be loyal subjects and submit to you as the king. So when we head into this fourth petition, give us today our daily bread, we are heading in the same direction. With the first three petitions, we are saying, God, we glorify you. God, we live for you. And we are heading in this direction with give me my daily bread. God, we want to continue to live for your glory. But God, we need you to provide for us so that we can do this. And the first thing that we need to do, first thing that we need is to have our physical needs met. God, give us today our daily bread. This word give, it also helps us to have a changed perspective, a proper perspective on the ordering of things. This created and creator order. Because we can't come to God having prayed this prayer, having prayed, your kingdom come, your will be done, and then come to God and say, now, God, what I want you to do is I want you to give me riches, or some other self-seeking and self-serving prayer. No, this orders our perspective. When we say give, it is the humble recognition that we, as R.C. Sproul says, he says, we are beggars who come pleading for charity. It is the humble recognition that everything that we have and everything that we need belongs to God, and it only comes to him. comes by his hand. It is the acknowledgement that he owns the cattle on a thousand hills, that every good and perfect gift comes from above. This is the acknowledgement that if we have anything at all, that it comes from his gracious hand and not from our provision. Our Father in heaven, the Almighty One. But there's also this relational element. We talk about this word give. Because we come to God as children. We call him our Father. Through the relationship that has been gifted to us through Jesus Christ's sacrifice for us, we've been adopted into his family. Now we are privileged, we are encouraged to come to him and call him Father. He's a Father who delights in providing for us everything that we need to live for him. Jesus, just shortly after this, he gives us the Lord's Prayer. He talks about asking your father, asking your parent for what you need. And he said, you who are evil, he calls us evil, by the way, he knows our nature. He says, you who are evil, when your son or your daughter comes to you and asks for bread, you don't give him a stone. When your son or your daughter comes and asks you for a fish, you don't give him a snake. In Luke's gospel, it says, when they ask for an egg, you don't give him a scorpion. No, you give good gifts. How much more then will your Father in heaven give you what you need? Will he give you good gifts? And so we come to God as our Father, as our faithful Father who provides what we need. And we say, God, I cannot provide for myself. Daddy, Father, Abba, give what we need. Give. Give us this day our daily bread. All right, so this word bread. The catechism says that this is all of our physical needs. Jesus, he's alluding to that this bread, it is our drink, it is our food, and it is our clothes. This is what the things that we need in order to survive, in order to exist today. Give us our daily bread. Give us our daily bread. So that kind of begs the question and invites us to consider, are we praying for those things that we truly need? Are we praying for those things that are truly good for us? Are we praying for those things that maybe we want more than for God's glory? Maybe we're asking more that we want for ourselves. So it should be an indicator. We should say, well, what am I praying for? What am I truly in need of? Now, if we think about it, and if we realize that we have all of our needs met, all of our material needs, that we have no lack, does this mean that we don't pray this portion of the Lord's Prayer? I don't think so. Maybe it means that we say, well, this will turn into a prayer of thanksgiving. Then we say, God, thank you that you have provided everything that I need. Thank you that you have given me my health, my health care. Thank you that you've given me a job. Thank you that you've provided me with food, with an abundance of food. And that you are recognizing that all these things, all these good gifts have come not from your own hand, but from the hand of your Father in heaven. And it's a recognition that we need him to continue to provide for us. So there is still that petition, God, you've given me what I need. Lord, please continue to provide. Or maybe this causes us to step back as we look at some of the pronouns of this petition. Our Father in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Us and our. How come Jesus didn't say, pray, give me my daily bread? What is this deal with having the plural form here? Now, I think that there's two things. I think the first thing is that the intention or the expectation is that we would be praying together. That when God saves us from our sin, he unites us into one body, and that we would be a body who prays together. Yes, that we would be a body who prays together in each other's physical presence, or even when we are not physically present together, that we recognize that we are still together in prayer. So even when we're on our own, we pray not my Father in heaven, my will be done, we pray our Father who art in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Because we are one body. We are the body of Christ. We come together as his praying people. But also, we come recognizing that we are God's creation, that we are humanity, that we share in this nature together. And so us in our, it becomes the recognition that, yes, there are people outside of just us, that there are people who, yes, who are struggling to have their basic needs met. Now, earlier we said that there in the U.S. that 300 pounds per person per year of food waste. This is on average. But that doesn't mean that everybody's living life in abundance. If you check the Phoenix Community Farm website, they have a stat on there that says one of three households in Midland County is struggling to meet their basic needs. One of three households in Midland County is struggling to have their basic needs met. And so this petition, give us our daily bread. Give us today our daily bread is our petition for God to provide. God, we pray for those who don't have jobs, those who are unemployed. We pray for those who have inadequate access to health care. God, we pray for those who are struggling to have their basic needs met, for those who cannot afford to go and shop and get nourishing food from the grocery store. Give us this day our daily bread. This is the recognition that it is more than just me. It's more than just us. And we are praying for God who would provide to all generously. Give us today our daily bread. Let me look at this last little piece of the Lord's Prayer. Give us today our daily bread. Well, back to the beginning, we said that Israel is wandering in the wilderness. They're wandering in the wilderness. The hunger is starting to get to them. They're starting to complain. And so God responds. God responds with these words. God says, I'm going to make it rain. God says, I am going to rain down bread from heaven for you. I'm going to rain down bread from heaven for you. God says, I am going to provide for your nourishment. I am going to provide for your needs in this barren land. But he doesn't stop there. He says, what I want you to do each day, I want you to go out and tell the people each day to go out and gather what they need just for that day. Now, why is this? Couldn't God, who is the creator of the universe, who is the sustainer of the universe, couldn't he have made like a manna that was had a little bit of preservative in it? Could he make something, a manna that would be able to last, had a longer shelf life than a day or two? You would think that he could. But no, he says, each day, this is what you have to do. You have to go out and gather this bread that I'm going to give for you, this manna that I'm going to give for you. Why does he say this? He says, then you will know that I am the Lord your God. He's saying, then you will know that you can trust me. Then you will know that I will give you what you need every day as you depend on me. So for us, for the body of Christ, for believers in Christ, we look to God every day for our salvation. We look to God every day to atone for our sin, to reassure us that the blood of Christ has covered over our transgressions against him, that Jesus Christ has forgiven us by his work, and that we are reunited to God in this relationship that was once broken. Now it's been put together. We have what we need in Christ. We depend on him for that daily. But God is saying, you know what? You need me for your daily provision too, for your daily sustenance, for that stuff that keeps you alive, that stuff that is essential. Know that you can depend on me. Know that you can trust in me. Give us today our daily bread. Because we don't know what's coming tomorrow. The things we have today may be taken away from us. It's not guaranteed. It's not promised to us what's going to happen tomorrow. Remember that 82-year-old businessman who jumped out of an 11th-story window because his company was going bottoms up, it was going under, his livelihood was being taken away? Well, contrast that. Contrast that with another businessman. I read some of his words. Another businessman says, this was somebody who prayed this prayer, somebody who prayed the Lord's Prayer. This was a man who lost his fortune in the Enron scandal of 2001. Still alive, he said, I have repeatedly acknowledged to God that my wealth comes from him. I've repeatedly acknowledged that my wealth comes from God. I've asked that if at any point he thought it would be spiritually better for me not to have it, that he would please take it away. This is a posture of open hands. God, I recognize that what I have is yours and that you can take it away at any time if you think it's good for me. He says, listen to this. I trust that this is what he has done and I am content with that. My fortune has been taken away from me, but I am content with that. because I trust God to daily give me what I need. I depend on Him and Him alone. Give us today our daily bread as a prayer that anchors our heart on God as our gracious provider. He is Almighty God who rules the universe, Almighty God who lacks nothing, and He is faithful Father who delights to provide for His people and creation. And all of God's people said, Amen. Let's pray. Lord, You are such a giving God. You've given us Jesus Christ. You've given us life. You've given us everything we need to live for You. God, we recognize You as the Creator, the Sustainer, the Provider, and the Savior. Help us, O Lord, to live as people who are grateful for all You've given to us. We pray that You would take away from us those attachments to anything other than You. Help us to rely on You, O Lord, for everything that we have, so that You might use us as Your faithful people in proclaiming Christ to the nations. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.